Richard Obert with AZ Central, their longtime high school sports columnist, editor, man of many, many traits, talents, who jumps on in on the open and all the playoffs. All right, what's your biggest takeaway from everything?
I think it ended up being what it should be in the end for the open. I didn't think Williamsfield or Higley really belonged in the open. And, you know, even maybe Notre Dame, I thought it was too many 5A teams. I thought they needed to get more 6A presence in there, which at the end of the day, I think they did that with Chaparral jumping in at number 8. That's going to be a great quarterfinal, Chaparral against Chandler. And another great one is Hamilton against Centennial. And Hamilton, I mean, the computer isn't going to show how great Hamilton played against Chandler.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only team that really, really competed against Chandler this year from Arizona. So, I mean, that's going to be a game where it looks like a state semifinal feel to it, and that's a great quarterfinal.
All right, so you have Horizon Saguaro sitting over there, and of the four games, that's the one that you look at and say Horizon loses their quarterback. Right. And then you have Pinnacle on the other side that loses their quarterback. So here's two teams, Richard, that have done a lot this year, and they, late in the season, for various reasons, will not have their starters at quarterback. Do these two teams come into this at a disadvantage from your view, or do you think they still have enough on both sides of the football to compete?
I think they might have enough. I think Horizon not having a strong schedule at the end and just really blowing out their last couple opponents. I mean, without Jake Martinelli at quarterback, I mean, they didn't really need him for those games. They've got enough talent around him, a really good sophomore running back, and Brian Borgatis has gotten going. I mean, their backup quarterback is good. He's good enough, but he's not Jake Martinelli, and that's going to hurt. I don't know if they got enough. You know, when they lose quarterback of that stature, it's going to be tough to beat a Saguaro team like that. And then the same with the Pinnacle. They got the freshman quarterback who's really good, Devin Dampierre. I mean, really good player. He had a great night in his starting debut as a freshman last night against Boulder Creek, but that's Boulder Creek. And now they're playing South Point, you know, and Bijan Robinson. He's just the neutralizer. He's the guy that, you know, if you can't stop him, you're not going to win this game. And Pinnacle's going to have to find a way to stop that guy.
Okay, let's go over to the 6A bracket then. Red Mountain ends up having a quadruple overtime loss, and that's it. And, you know, and yet here they are as the number one seed in 6A. They'll probably play the disrespect card, I would think, not right. Being in the open. Do you see anybody there that could stand in their way?
I do. I think Red Mountain definitely belonged in the open, maybe even over Horizon. I don't think they should have beaten out the 8 seed Chaparral, but that's just my take on it. I think Red Mountain playing against weak Mesa schools did not help them at all, and it's not going to get them ready for the playoffs. But so I think that's why if they are coming in as the number one seed. But Corona, you know, they've gone through a gauntlet of competition this year in the Central. You know, every team in the Central is pretty strong, except maybe Mountain Point's down this year. But still, Mountain Point, you're always going to respect that program. But I think when you look at it, I still think Perry, you know, if they can ever get some stops, consecutive
right.
stops out there, they're
right.
a dangerous team. But just because they have Chuba Purdy, who I still believe is the best quarterback in the state, and then you got Brophy down at the bottom. Brophy, other than Chandler, is the only team that beat Hamilton this year. So you got to really respect what Jason's done with Brophy and gotten this team to where they're at as a number two seed.
All right, let's go over to the 5A.
Yeah.
At 5A, you look at it, and you've got Williamsfield, and in that bracket, you have Higley, and you have Castile, and you have Campo Verde, all from the same region that end up going there. None of them make the open. And then you have Notre Dame Prep sitting over there. They're going to play the disrespect card. Walk me through 5A.
This looks pretty wide open to me. This looks as wide open as any so far, other than the open. I mean, they've got... Even Campo Verde, you know, Campo Verde's really not that bad a team. They just had to play some really, really tough opponents down the stretch. And, you know, they're sitting in a 6-seed. They're going to open against McClintock. Higley's just a dangerous offense with Kai Milner at quarterback. Williamsfield is who they are with that great offensive line, and they can just run the ball and smash teams.
Castile put up
yeah.
41 last night on Campo Verde,
yeah,
just ran him right off the field.
And if you look at the beginning of the year, Castile's the only team that really, from Arizona, that really gave Centennial a game this year. They lost to them by a touchdown, and Centennial's just shut out every single team in their region this year. So, Castile's a dangerous team too. So there's several teams in there that has a chance to win this thing.
Like Gilbert with Plummer, here's a guy that plays every down of every position, gets his head kicked in and keeps walking back out on the field. And I think, Richard, in this year's recruiting class, we're talking about a guy who just hasn't gotten enough attention. It's probably him sitting over at Gilbert.
Exactly. He does, because this has been a rough year for quarterbacks in the state. If you look at it, a lot of injuries. Jack Miller was out for a considerable amount of time, and then, you know, J.D. Johnson's gone now. He can't play anymore. There's been so many. It's been tough. I mean, when Basha lost their quarterback, Gabe Friend, that was basically the end of their run. They weren't going to beat anybody after that. And so it shows how important a quarterback is. And if you have a durable quarterback like Will Plummer is, I mean, I don't know if there's a more durable quarterback. He could play. He plays like a linebacker out there, and he's not afraid to get hit or go after and just run through people. And he just keeps ticking, you know. I mean, he still has a lot left in him. So he's as long as he's on the field, you can't count Gilbert out.
Notre Dame Prep, what do you make out of them? I mean, they're sitting there as a two saying, we didn't make the open. We're really good.
Great defense. Very, very good defense. They've got, I think, return almost everybody from last year's team that lost their only game to Centennial in the 5A championship game. So it's a team that lost what double overtime to Horizon, their only loss, and that's their only regular season loss in three or four years. So, you know, they're chomping a bit because they're probably feeling like they're flying under the radar right now with all the attention being on the Southeast Valley with Higley and Williamsville and those teams. And, you know, even Millennium on the West Valley, they're a good team with Jalen Early at quarterback, another really good quarterback. So there's some teams out there that can really do it. I think they'll get by Verado, Notre Dame, and then Cienega, Sunny Slope. Sunny Slope's got another good quarterback. So I can see Notre Dame getting into the semis, maybe getting into the championship and winning it all this time.
Okay, before I get you out of here, 4A, I look at the second round and see a potential Cactus-Peoria matchup. I look at Ty Thompson over there at Mesquite, although they had a tough night last night against Saguaro. Everybody does.
Yes.
CDO ends up losing to Casa Grande, who's on that upper bracket. I wouldn't want to play Casa Grande right about now. I mean, you go through that, and you're just like, okay, throw a dart, and you're probably going to get somebody.
Yeah, I think everybody is just ecstatic and happy that Saguaro and South Point is out of this bracket.
Yep.
So now it's wide, wide open. And, you know, Tucson Saguaro is the number one seed. That's like, wow, you know, because they got blown out by South Point.
Yep.
And so Glendale with their running back Kevin Daniels and Rocco Bruni, a quarterback, they got a chance. You know, I don't think any of the top seeds really is clear-cut favorite to win. I mean, Tempe's a tough team. They, you know, Greenway's a good team. They lost to them. I mean, they've had some tough opponents. Mesquite, you know, with Ty Thompson, like you said, he's really dangerous. I mean, nobody's going to do what they can do with Soro with that defense and that size and speed. So they'll bounce back. And Desert Edge, to me, Desert Edge is probably the favorite, even as a four seed. I think Desert Edge is going to get to the final. I think they're going to win it all because they did play the tougher teams. They played South Point, they played Saguaro, and they beat Peoria. I believe they beat Cactus, so I think I would favor them.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming by. I know you're busy. Appreciate it, Richard.
Thanks, Brad.
Richard Obert there, AZ Central. Ralph Amsden, nice enough, Arizona Varsity, to strap on the headphones. What's your biggest takeaway from today?
That you have to schedule tough teams. I mean, that's the thing that I think has become more and more obvious. You know, we have a new system go into play when all these teams are already locked into a two-year block. And so, you know, some of this was predetermined. With, you know, obviously you have to go out there and win these games. But also, if you didn't schedule tough teams, then you cost yourself an opportunity. And, you know, you have a team like South Mountain go 7-3. They're missing the playoffs just like Fairfax did at 7-3 last year. You know, I hate to see teams get punished, you know, for being good. I don't think that a blowout loss against a good team should count as more than a win. Mm. And so, you know, there's some glaring omissions, but you look at the teams that made this open division playoff, Horizon, right? They're the ones that surprise everybody. What did they do before this two-year block? They outscheduled themselves. They started 0-3 last year. They took three beatings in a row, and then they came back physically ready because they understand what it takes to play at this level. Mm. And they beat Notre Dame, and they beat Higley, and they definitely deserve to be here. And so I think, you know, and then you got Centennial, who believes that you schedule anyone at any time. You got Chandler, who believes the same way. And I think that it really comes down to you have to test yourself. Williamsfield ran off 8 victories in a row to end the year because they opened up against a really tough Norco team. They weren't physically ready to play Sunrise Mountain that next week. That often happens, which is nice that, you know, Chandler and Hamilton get a week off in between beating up on each other
right,
last night.
Right.
But yeah, the main takeaway that I take away from this is you just got to make sure you've got some teams that scare you on your schedule.
So the Premier region is well represented. I think if there's a region that probably ends up getting short shift in all this, it is at 5A, and it is Williamsfield, it is Higley,
yeah.
It is Castile, it is Campo Verde, and Gilbert. All five of those end up making it. The only one that didn't was Maricopa.
Right, and if Maricopa beats, you know, if Maricopa beats Gilbert last night, then they're probably in instead of Gilbert. That's my guess is that's the second toughest region in the state, and that any one of those, if you had 500-600 more kids at any one of those schools, that they would probably get stuck in that Premier region as well. We've seen the growth of West Valley football over the last few years, but there's still that hub on the Chandler-Gilbert border,
right,
of just these super, super talented teams that have this infusion of, you know, homes being built and everything like that. They stay tough every single year.
Before I get you out of here, because I know you're chasing coaches, so Chaparral makes it in as the eighth seed.
Yeah.
Talk to people at Chap that said, we want Chandler, and this was before last night. Do they have a shot?
No, I mean, Jason Mons doesn't even want Chandler. Nobody wants to deal with Chandler. I think that there might be some excitement in seeing that Hamilton came out and they stood toe-to-toe,
right,
with Chandler, and they had some success. And, you know, Chaparral's got Jared Williams, who is just such an exciting running back to watch. He's kind of grown into his personality a little bit more. You've seen him get more hyped up lately, take more ownership of that offense. Jack Miller is a really, really special player with an affinity for late game, you know, heroics. We saw that last night
was amazing.
And so I think to say that anybody would be excited to see Chandler across from them would definitely be misrepresenting it. But I tell you what, if the last thing that you see is a team go out there and punch Chandler in the mouth and have some success with it, you got to start thinking, why not us?
Pinnacle, South Point, what do you make out of that matchup?
Well, you know, Pinnacle is a very, very talented team. It's hard to talk about Pinnacle right now without, like, a little tinge
the JD,
of
yeah.
sadness, right? But at the same time, the Franklin brothers on defense, you know, this defensive line gets so much pressure that the defensive backs are just able to feast. So many bad balls go up in the air because of the pressure that this defense creates. But guess what? South Point doesn't really throw the ball.
Yeah.
And when they do, they've got a very talented young quarterback there. And so I think this matchup kind of spells trouble at first glance for Pinnacle, because everything that Pinnacle does well, South Point's sort of built to withstand. You know, this could be a game where you're the first team to 20 wins.
Well, you know, you look at this, and I think this is the Bijan Robinson bracket. Because
yeah.
here's a running back that is being viewed as the best since Kadeem Carey, and maybe even better than Kadeem Carey.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to go through Chandler in round two or Chaparral. And so to me, I think the most intriguing person to watch, most intriguing player, is Bijan Robinson, because he's run against Tucson schools that aren't good.
Right. But if you just trust your eye, and you've been around high school football, you know, as long as I've been alive. I've been paying as much attention as I can for the last 10 years. It does not look like there's anybody on his level. It feels like
it
feels like he could walk for 150 yards in some of these games. Some of that's on the offensive line, but he's just different. I was laughing with Cactus head coach Joseph Ortiz a little bit earlier in the day, saying, you know, if you give Bijan Robinson the ball on the 20 and he scores, his yard per carry goes down.
Yeah, that's true.
Insane is that over the course of a full season? And so, you know, I trust, from what I've seen of him and what I've seen of that offensive line, I trust them against anybody, Chandler, Hamilton included. And so Pinnacle's really going to have to be on their A game.